Hello, everyone. My name is Tim Jenkins, and welcome to my presentation on the baseball cards of the 1954 Orioles, which, of course, was their inaugural season in Baltimore. This is my first Sabre presentation, so hopefully I won't be DFA'd the end of it by Sabres. Okay, so the St. Louis Browns were officially transferred to Baltimore on September 28, 1958. So this provided the two card companies, remember there were two at this time that were rivals, Topps and Bowman, ample time to prepare cards for the Orioles in the 1954 sets. This presentation will examine how each company went about transferring photos of the Browns into Orioles, and whether or not they used actual photos of the new Orioles on their cards. Also, I will touch upon Oriole cards from previous eras and take a look at the regional and oddball cards issued in 1954 for Baltimore. So, why are baseball cards even important? Why should we even talk about it? Well, actually, just this week, I see Rob Nyer in the back there. I was listening to Sabrecast, and his guest mentioned that his first experience with baseball was through cards, and Rob chimed in that that had been something that several other guests had also mentioned as their first foray into the game. So, for many of us in this room as well, baseball cards acted as sort of a gateway drug, helped addict us to baseball. I know when I opened my first pack at age 8 in 1968, my endorphin levels spiked, and I needed regular fixes of baseball cards. Even after I got Dick lines in every pack, I still wanted keep collecting those baseball cards. And this addiction, unfortunately, persists to the current day. Though the transplanted Browns didn't offer the kids of Baltimore a whole lot of stars that they could worship right off the bat, as we all know, the Browns of the early 50s were pretty pathetic. Still, they could now collect cards from their hometown team, and so they would get to know the new players who were going to be playing at Memorial Stadium. So the cards of the 1954 Orioles may have served as the seed that germinated into fandom for generations of Oriole followers. That was the slide I should have put up there. Okay, so as we all know, the Baltimore has a rich baseball history. We can't get into that in too much detail. But there were cards for the Baltimore Orioles prior to 1954. So as you can see here, there were cards from the American Association and National League Orioles. Old Judge produced cards. That was one of the earliest baseball cards companies. Was actually a tobacco company that put those in the packs. And you can see others there. And John McGraw, that's actually a cabinet card, sort of like a exhibit card or a postcard that people would put supposedly in curio cabinets and display them. Also, the International League Orioles. Now, when the National League Orioles dissolved and the one first year of the American League team moved to New York, the International League was quite successful in Baltimore, and there were cards produced for them as well. So you can see there's the T206 set had cards including Dunn, who was the famous, who had gone to own and manage the minor league team. You have actually a 1933 Gowdy minor league player there, Sand, Heine Sand, and perhaps one of the most unfortunate names for an athlete, Clyde Klutz, over there. That's actually from 1950 with something rather confusingly called Big League Stars set, even though he was a minor leaguer. And let us not forget the Federal League Terrapins. They also had some cards here, as he's Chief Bender, though he's still in his Oakland A's uniform there on the Baltimore Feds. And that was Kaiser Wilhelm over here wearing his Brooklyn Superba uniform, but he was also on the Federal League Terrapins. And kids, via their fathers who were smoking the cigarettes, could have collected those cards at the time. So when the Browns move, it was generally considered from the beginning that they were going to be called the Orioles, because all the teams had been called the Orioles with the exception of Terrapins. And so it had this long traditional name. It did turn out to be the case. The team selected the name because they didn't want to be the Browns, right? You know, it's kind of a lame name, the color and so forth. So Orioles worked, and so that was the name that was selected for the team. Now, the prior year, the Braves had moved from Boston to Milwaukee. So both card companies had experience with teams moving, and this is how they produced cards in 1953. Bowman never even bothered to change the pictures at all. They just issued the players wearing the Boston Brave uniforms. On the back of the cards, they did indicate that it was now Milwaukee. Now, Topps simply airbrushed out the B and put in a block M on theirs. You really don't get an authentic Milwaukee Brave card in a Milwaukee Brave uniform until 1954. And in numerical sequence, the first of those is actually the Hank Aaron card. And I know this because I was told by an expert on images, Keith Oberman, that this is the case. Because I initially, when I was emailing him, I told him, well, I don't know if that Aaron is, you know, the authentic picture. But Keith's response was, you're crazy, or you're an idiot, or something like that. And so after I reinflated my ego and stopped crying long enough, he actually then sent me that image in black and white. He owns it, but he won't let you use it, but he sent it to me. And so I was lucky enough to find one that looked like it was taken either after or right on the same photo session. This is from the Wisconsin Historical Society. So that's proof that this card, though colorized, was indeed the first Braves card. Now you're saying, why am I telling you this? Well, it was easier for them to do this because they remained the Braves and they kept the exact same uniform. Now with the Orioles, they're going to have to decide, what do we do? We don't know what their uniform's going to look like here. We got to get these cards, the first series of cards, we need to get them to the printer. So essentially, Topps and Bowman will both take a different tack. And let's take a look. So they had to go with clues, right? So this cap was worn in 1953 by the International League Orioles. This jersey that I have on, which is the same one that's up there, and believe it or not, it once used to fit, but not so much anymore. That was the uniform that the team used, so they had a clue there, and they had a long tradition of putting Orioles on a bat through the script, much like the St. Louis Cardinals did. So that could have been the way that the Oriole uniform would look. They didn't, but the car companies didn't know this in when they were first producing the first cards. So that one's a little bit blurry, but so Bowman decides we're just going to design a uniform or uniform designs for Baltimore. They were correct that they did put a body bird on the cap. This is a 1954 replica of the 1954 cap. So they were pretty good with that. And the first two cards in the numerical sequence, keep in mind when you order a pack of, when you buy a pack of baseball cards, you might get card 100, the first Oriole. But if you just go by numerical sequence, these are the first two. Billy Hunter, who will go on to have a long career as a coach with the Orioles, remember, under Earl Weaver. And of course, Vic Wirtz, whose famous long fly ball that would have been a home run any other place was caught by Willie Mays in the 1954 World Series, is over there. So what they simply did was just cover over the browns on the uniform and then put a block Orioles. And if you look closely, I realize it's a little bit blurry there. There's a bird, a little bird right here. But that's the only two that they did it in that format. What they really went with was the script design with the birds on a bat. And you can see how, depending on which artist or how much coffee he had that day, they differ in thickness, coloration, but the one that really is just completely, I don't understand it at all, is that they used an apostrophe, Oriole apostrophe S. What could, I mean, who would, you can see that on both Jerry Smith and Clint the toy bulldog, Courtney. So, you know, they were pretty creative and they did a pretty good job. It's just that was nothing like what would actually be used by the Orioles in 1954. So with Bowman, you will not get an Oriole in an authentic 1954 Oriole uniform until 1955 with the great color TV sets there, as you can see. Joe Coleman would go on to, his son would go on to be a good player. Eddie Waitkus, hopefully there's not a bullet hole in his. And Matt Batts, who has one of the great names in baseball history, Matt Batts, they are wearing their authentic Oriole road uniforms from 1954 at Connie Mack Stadium at the time. Or I guess it was still Shive Park because the A's had moved to Kansas City when that picture was taken. All right, so how did Tots go about creating cards for the Orioles? Well, the Baltimore boy goes first is that the first card in the numerical sequence is Bobby Young, who was from Baltimore. And he looks a little like Harry Dean Stanton, actually, now that I look at that. But they did a pretty good job with the body bird there, but they got the head tilted up a little bit too much. And they just airbrushed the browns off of his uniform, didn't bother to put anything on there. And the same over there for Billy Hunter again. But if you look at the logo they used, it's the same one that was used in 1953 by the International League Orioles. They just pretty much stole that because they didn't know what the logo was going to look like. However, the Orioles must have released the official logo, and I'll show you that in just a moment. But first, we'll have an interlude with this card. Now, this one is weird in that Johnny Lippman is wearing a Red Sox uniform, Baltimore Orioles. But he never played for the Orioles at all. He was traded to the Reds that year. So you got a card of him on the Orioles wearing a Red Sox hat, but he only played for the Reds.
It says White Sox on the back.
Yeah, that's right. It says White Sox on the back. He was, he was traded to the White Sox first and then to the Reds. So Johnny had all kinds of stuff that year going on. So now look at, Johnny still has the old minor league logo, but voila. As you move along in the sequence, they have adopted the Orioles' new logo there. So Dick Kokos has that logo on there, and good old Vern Stevens over there, even though that looks kind of like a Red Sox hat that has had the bird put on it. So the comic bird makes its appearance on the card for the first time. Bluebirds. Now, the hats look blue, right? But everybody knows the Orioles hat was black. But this could have been, since these are colorized black and white photos, these could have been, just a... the artist picked the wrong color, or it could have been the printer that did that. So it's kind of confusing when you look at that blue hat, but these are actual photos taken in spring training, which was held in Scottsdale, Arizona, of the Orioles. So these are actual photos that they had taken during the spring training. And of course you see Topps. Because the two rival companies, some had exclusive contracts with one player, and so they often had to scrounge to fill out a set with guys, and coaches were included in there. So you got Tom Oliver there, and Tom is actually wearing the spring training uniform there. You can see it clearly. Now you might say, how do I know that? That's a valid question. I could be full of bird seat on this. But if you look at the way the bird that is situated on the hat, it is exactly like this one. So they simply took the picture and painted it. You don't believe me? I'll show you. Here is Jahozy Hurd. Here is the picture taken in spring training. There he is over there, colorized. Here he is on a wiener set that we're going to look at in a bit. It's the exact same picture all three times. It's just they're colorized slightly different. See, the wiener card has his lettering in black, when in spring training they actually had orange on the lettering. So that is definitely the cap that they wore that year. So there is you could get confused though, because over here on the right, you see the Orioles uniform. The strip was black with orange trim, whereas in spring training, they're all wearing what looks like this script. And they have multicolor striped socks on, which could have been left over from the minor league Orioles, it could have been from the Browns, who knows. So if you're trying to think of what's really authentic, you really don't have the uniform that they wore. You have the uniform they wore in spring training on the cards in 1954. So really, if you want your first true Topps Orioles, you have to wait till the next year, 55, to get them. As you can see, Harry is in the Oriole uniform that they wore, as is Billy O'Dell there. So much like the Braves, you really have to wait till the next season if you want the card in their authentic uniforms. Okay, a couple things here. The Wieners, the Charm City, awaited. There were, let's see, what's the name of that one? There were several local issues. So this is the KB Hot Dogs cards, and back in the day, they actually put a physical card inside the wiener package. They were waxed, or they had a plastic on them to keep the salty material from deteriorating the card, but it didn't work very well, as you can see over there on Eddie Wakis again. So, by the way, this set, a partial set, is on eBay right now for $10,000. So that tells you how rare the wiener cards are, because they didn't survive the nitrate juice. And then there was another national wiener set there too. Of Vern Stevens wearing his spring training uniform. Okay. All right. I'll wrap this up real quick. There also was an orange and black. The orange and black Redman refers to the Redman tobacco of Sam Mealy with an airbrushed Oreo. And there was even a Dixie cup lid that you would have used the little tongue depressor-like thing to eat your ice cream while looking at Clint Courtney. And finally, the two most valuable cards from 1954 are two rookie cards here of Don Larson and Bob Turley. I actually assembled all of these cards to show you the actual cards, except for Don Larson, because I couldn't find one that I didn't want to spend $100 for Don. and then I promptly forgot them in Seattle. So you can't see the actual cards. So that's it. Yes.
We had a slide here that said the 1953 schedule. What was that about?
That was the International League schedule for the 1953 Orioles. It had the logo that Topps copied for the first three cards that they printed. Yes, sir.
Yes, this is really more about uniforms and cards per se. But when did teams start using different uniforms for spring training? Why were the Orioles wearing orange outlined in black in spring training and vice versa during the season?
That I could not determine. That fooled me at first. But it could have been that they used old minor league Oreo uniforms, or they simply stitched this script onto Brown's uniforms, and then once they made it to Baltimore in the regular season, they donned the uniforms that they wore that was more of a black script.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes?
The part where you said about the 54 Tops, the logo change, that breakdown at series borders, did you check into that?
Can you elaborate on that a little bit more?
Back then, new cards came out in different series.
There were, right,
maybe like 89 cards in the first series, and the second series would have so many cards. I just wondered where the sequence that they started using different logos when you were there.
Well, I think in 54 they didn't have actual defined series.
They
just issued a certain number of cards first, and then another pot, and then another pot. But obviously the ones with the minor league logo were in the first printing of cards. And then after those, there's only three cards like that. And then from that point on, they use the logo that the major league team would use. Yes?
Were there any copyright laws at that time? You know, how today, do of course that they have to work with MLB, you know, to make sure they're using the right logos, et cetera.
No, I think in that era it was pretty wide open. A lot of the pictures, you know, Topps didn't start taking their own pictures until 1957, according to Keith Olbermann. Again, we're back to Keith. But So they would buy pictures from photographers. So like the Hank Aaron I showed you for the Braves, you know, someone took those pictures in Milwaukee and they were used on cards and Topps purchased them. I mean, even in, up till 1961, if you look at all the, 1960, excuse me, all the manager cards are, you can find them in different versions of other cards. So it was pretty wide open. Major League Baseball really didn't clamp down on that until the late 60s when they formed their became their marketing side. Yes?
You said that the second series that came out had the actual spring training uniforms. So what was the release date for the cards in the first series?
The release date would probably have been in February or March. That's when they usually came out. Probably more toward March. So they had to have lead time. That's why they had to create what they thought it would look like. And then once they found out, they could pepper them in later.
Okay, that's all the formal questions, but you can always
chat later. All right, thank you.